I was looking at our text this Sunday because that's what I do, and was caught by this parable, which certainly doesn't surprise anyone. It is extremely well known. It's one of the, maybe one of the better known of the parables of Jesus, not up there with the prodigal son, but still familiar to us all. And as I've mentioned before, and as I have found to my profit in the past, looking at things that I think I already know is often extremely helpful. And so as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, I was trying to remember a time when I didn't know this parable, and honestly, I couldn't come up with one. And I realized that my earliest exposure to this parable was that sowing was a punctiliar singular action. I've been waiting to use punctiliar in a sermon for a long time, so you're just stuck with it. I'll try not to do it again. But what I'm talking about is what I heard when I read this parable, or when it was read to me, or when it was talked about. It seemed to me that this was something that happened once. It was a singular experience. The farmer, the sower, went out, sowed the seed, and that was it. Which is odd, because I've known some people who sowed seeds. My mother, for example, was a wild and very successful gardener, as well as indoor plants and everything else. She's one of those people who could grow anything. This turns out is not genetic, or at least if it is, I didn't get that gene. But the thing that was interesting about that, when I think of the people who sow seeds, my uncles who are farmers, or my great uncles who are farmers, my grandfather, other people that I know, and other gardeners, I've never known one who only sowed once. Because that's not the way it works. If you're somebody who plants things and grows, and if you're a farmer, you don't go out and throw the seed once and then never again. You go back next season and you sow again. Those who sow keep coming back to sow. Every time there's a new time, a new sowing season. Spring, my mother would get so excited about spring that when she could trust her children not to just break things because they were there, she was the first person I know who did anything with hydroponics. So she would start plants in our basement under grow lights and in liquid, just in water with fertilizer, so she didn't have to wait as long as she might otherwise in the spring. So she would take these little plants and she'd put them out there, as well as sowing seed. And when I started thinking about this parable from that perspective, it stopped being a parable solely about judgment. Because what I heard this parable as when I was growing up was, the sower is going to come, the farmer is going to come, throw out the seed, and if you are the path, that's it. Too bad for you. You might have wanted at some point to be a seed, or a ground in which a seed could grow and produce many fold, but you were the path. So it was over. But that doesn't make any sense. If nothing else, it doesn't make any sense in my life. Because when I looked at my life, and I've shared some of the path I've been on, I know that at one time I was that path. Because what happened on the path? Seed is on the path. Birds come and eat it, and it's gone. I heard the things I needed to hear, but it was as if they bounced off. It was as if a bird came and ate it. I know that at one point I was this rocky place that the New International Version described it as, where the seed came, the word came, the knowledge came, and it sprang up, and it was kind of exciting. There's nothing there. There's nothing behind it. I didn't have any soil for it to grow in. And so it shriveled up and it was gone as if it had never been there. I know that at one point I was that soil filled with thistles or weeds. I always think of thistles because where I grew up in Sherwood Park in the middle of Alberta there, we had thistles that were extraordinary. We had thistles that, as a child, were taller than me if they were out of the wind. So when I think of thistles, I think of something that will not just choke out something else. It'll steal the sun. It'll steal the nutrients in the soil. It'll do all of those things. And what does it say? Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. I know there were times when I heard the reality of God's love for me, and I believed it. And I thought, this is something that I need, and this is something that I understand now for the first time ever. And then I went back to school, where I lived with all of the challenges of middle school and high school, with relationships that were at best troubling and generally incomprehensible to me in those years, as I think it was to many of us in our teens, early teens, and even late teens. And the pressures I had to be someone I wasn't, because I was never one of the cool kids or the popular kids, all of those things, they just squeezed out the sense, that deep sense that I had had, that I was loved. And it became a field of thistles, field of thorns, field of weeds, not even dandelions that are at least pretty when they flower. It was just nothing. But I also know that seed finally came to good soil. And I know that seed that landed in this good soil in me grew up and produced manyfold, that it's a crop that's worth harvesting. And I know that because you've told me. Because the people at St. Mark's and the people at Knox have said, the things that you have brought out of Scripture were good for me, were new to me, or were a new way to look at things, and they were helpful, and I'm a better person because you were here to preach this. And I'm not saying that to give myself airs. It's to say that's the harvest. That's the many-fold, the 30, 60, 100, 1,000 times more than a single seed. And that's what it can be to all of us. And for those of us who are here in this service, this might not be the same kind of mind-blowing hopefulness for us, because we probably have become that well-cared-for soil that was ready for the seed to grow and become fruitful. But it's possible that at least some of us, including me, have people in our lives that we look at and we say, we know they've heard. We know that seed has been sowed, but I don't see any fruit. And if we think that sowing only happens once, if we think that it's a single opportunity that God gives us to respond to the love God pours upon us, that's a really depressing thing, isn't it? When we know that our children or our friends or our other relatives have heard the message at least once, but they didn't respond, if we think that was their only chance, it's hard to live with. And I used to use this parable as a way to make me feel bad about people who had heard but hadn't responded, until the Holy Spirit said, wait a second, no farmer sows a field once and then that's all they ever do with it. Your mother never had a garden with a single crop, a single attempt. She tried things, maybe they worked, maybe they didn't, maybe in our case, the worms came and ate up everything below the ground in the radish patch. I remember that. Pressing day, because I liked fresh radishes. My mother didn't stop because, well, there's no point, because that's not what you do when you're planting. You keep planting. You keep sowing until you get the harvest that you expect, that you have worked for. And when we have become those people, that's when we begin to see ourselves in Romans 8. When we realize that God, in that endless graciousness of sowing again and again and watching the birds take the seeds and watching things sprout up with such promise and then just fade away, watching the weeds of concerns and cares and desperate needs to find love somewhere else. Just choke out what's there. God continues to sow till finally we become that good seed. And then we become the people who Paul says can have a mind controlled by the Spirit. Then we can have a life that is filled with this inner life, and we can have a life of peace. We become controlled by the Holy Spirit, not because we were free from all control before, but rather we were controlled by a spirit of death. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and says, here is life, here's the real thing. It says, not only are you filled with life, not only are you going to be able to produce many times, now you can become more and more like Jesus. Because that's one of the things that we want to be. One of the things that we work towards is becoming conformed more and more to the spirit and person of Jesus, to be more like Jesus rather than more like our previous selves, which were selfish and afraid, that didn't dare love because we didn't think we had any to give. And now we realize that we have this so much that we have to give it away or we'll pop. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to even die if that's what we needed, and that is what we need. And that's the kind of life we have when the seed finally lands on the good soil. And that's the kind of life that these people were thinking of, who were worried about, who we know could benefit from this life of love and care that God offers, but haven't chosen to yet. Well, every time it's time to sow, God is out there, throwing the seed and waiting until such time as all of those people have moved from the path to the rocks, to the weeds, to the good soil. Because God sows until God's harvest is ready. I don't know what that looks like or what the timing is for those people that I'm concerned about. But this parable, in this better understanding of what it means to try and grow things, this parable gives me hope that I might not have had before. It reminds me that God continues to sow even when the harvest isn't there because it fell on a path, because God knows that the time will come when that seed will land where it needs to. And the seed of life will grow inside these people that we care so much about and ourselves, producing more than we could ever imagine. God is a farmer who doesn't give up after one bad crop, any more than any of the farmers I know give up after one bad crop. God continues to sow until all those will produce the harvest that only they can produce, making the difference only they can do, becoming those wonderful people that we know they can be and that God knows even better. Because no matter how tempted we are to give up hope, God never does. Amen.